And I need you to go to Proverbs chapter 11, if you will. Proverbs chapter 11. I'm going to talk about faith promise giving. Faith promise giving. And got a lot to say. Proverbs chapter 11, and verse 24. I'm going to say, would you go ahead and start handing that out? Find somebody else. Nathan, would you help him take half of these? I have an outline for if you would like to fill it in. And it's kind of, it might help you remember some of the things we're going to talk about this morning. You're not allowed to doodle. I didn't give you any space for you to draw mean pictures of me. So fill in the blanks. Don't doodle. You've already got it. It's a whole other art book that you have, right? I understand. This is a lesson. I wish I had a month of Sundays to just talk about giving. We're going to talk about it again, probably the first week of April, which will be a culmination of this thought. But this morning I want to talk about faith promise giving. Proverbs chapter 11. And if you look at verse 24, the Bible says, "There is that scattereth, and yet increases." So there is somebody who will scatter things away, and yet will end up with more. And there is another person that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. What the contrast! Sometimes we think, if I don't spend, I'll be okay, and yet you end up poor. And then there are those who are giving, and they end up better off. Verse 25, the liberal soul, that's the giving soul, shall be made fat. That's a good fat there. And he that watereth, look at how he describes it. It's like you meet some need, needs water. He that watereth shall himself be watered also. So, we're talking about giving, talking about not holding back, not withholding, not being stingy, not being a miser. And we're going to learn to give by faith this morning. You see, there's something called honeycombed giving. I thought this was cute, I read. Honeycombed giving. And somebody described three different kinds of givers. There's the first kind of giver that's like a flint rock. Now, we're so far from the farm, most people don't know what a flint rock is. But I had to grow up learning how to use that because I went camping a lot as a child. And I joined the Boy Scouts and what we called the Cub Scouts when I was a child. And we would go camping, and you didn't bring matches. You weren't allowed to bring matches. You had to go and find one of these flint rocks, and you had to strike it with a piece of steel. And when you struck it, you'd get a spark, and it would light a small piece of cloth or whatever. But there are three types of givers. There is the flint rock, but to get anything from the flint rock, you must hammer it. I know a lot of givers who are like flint rocks. They don't do anything unless they're hammered. And then when they do give, they do it for show. Okay? There's another kind of rock. I'm sorry, not a rock. A lot of rocks. Okay. There's another kind of giver that's like a sponge. But to get anything from the sponge, you have to squeeze it. Now, it's good natured. It yields to pressure. And the more it's pressed, the more it gives. But it's not natural. It doesn't give unless it's squeezed. But there's a third kind of giver, and that's the honeycomb giver. That just, it just sits there and it oozes and it gives without having to be pushed or pulled. It just overflows with sweetness. You know, that's what I want to be like. I know I've been there, and I've moved up to there, but I want to get there, okay? See, we're learning this month about living by faith, not by sight. And living by faith means everything we do. That means loving by faith and not just by sight or by feelings. That's a tall order to learn how to love somebody, to love people, even loving your enemies, because you're doing it by faith, not because you feel like it. Living by faith means working by faith. I know you drag yourself out of bed in the morning. You know, you're supposed to work by faith. You work and you trust God for, you've done your best and you trust God for the rest. But you work by faith, you pray by faith, you learn how to worship by faith. You don't have to be in a place with statues and columns in order to feel like you're in a place of prayer. You need to learn how to be by your bedside and pray by faith. Ministering, serving by faith, and living by faith means learning to give by faith. And it's a walk of faith. I mean, let me do this. When I start talking about money, that's everybody's instant reaction. I don't have anything. And really, we're going to get to the place where it doesn't matter whether you have anything in your pockets or not. To learn to give by faith does not mean you give by sight. Giving is something that just is a part of our nature, it's supposed to be. It doesn't matter whether we have anything, we still give. I want to talk this month this morning about faith, promise, giving. Giving by faith. And it is a great subject. I can't tell you how great it is, because giving is the fruit of the grace of God in our life. How many have been saved by God's grace? Let me see your hands. For by grace are you saved. Did you know you're not only saved by grace, you're kept by His grace? I mean, it seems like God just keeps giving and giving and giving to us, doesn't He? I mean, He gives more than we deserve. And then He gives definitely when we don't deserve. He gives. And you know, we're motivated to give by His grace. His givingness to us ought to, and it does to some degree, it motivates us to be givers like Him. Has God been gracious to you? You ought to want to be more like Him then. Father, would You hear us this morning? Help us to hear Your Word. Change us from flints to honeycombs. So that we can do more, so that we can be more, so that we can, Lord, be like Jesus Christ. That's what we want. I don't want to be a church goer. I want to be Christ-like. Please transform us as a church through praise, through faith, promise, giving. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm going to compare two concepts that are both biblical, but they're so amazing. And when you learn them, it will help you understand what giving is all about, especially as a Christian. We're going to compare some of the Bible calls the tithe. That's giving by sight. By the way, tithing, you do calculate how much you have. But giving, when you give, and we're specifically talking about giving to missions, you don't calculate what you have. And this is hopefully going to blow your mind. All right? You've got a comparison there. Let's look at giving by the tithe, first of all, and then we'll go second back and forth between the two. The first thing I want you to understand about the tithe is we give our tithe by commandment. If you'll take your Bible now and go to Malachi chapter 3, the last book of the Old Testament, just before Matthew, is the book of Malachi. And in Malachi chapter 3, we give our first fruits, we give our money, our tithes, by commandment. It is in obedience to God's word. Look at Malachi chapter 3 in verse 10. This is not a suggestion. It's not a goal. It is a command. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. You don't send it off in the mail. You don't send it off in the internet. You bring it to a place that there may be meat. Meat is food. In my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer. Whatever big problem is taking all of your money, I'll turn it around. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith who? Who promises that? The Lord does. All right. The first thing I want you to see, that we give our tithes by commandment. Now, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 now. We're going to go back and forth a little bit, but we'll stabilize here in a few minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we give not by commandment, we give because of grace in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. And if you'll look there, 2 Corinthians 8, 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit." That's an old way of saying we want you to know of the what? The grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that, in a great trial of affliction, they were going through a very bad economic, political time. Well, in that great trial of affliction, I want you to know of the abundance of their joy. And in spite of their deep poverty, look what happened. It abounded unto the riches of their, what's that word? Liberality is their ability to give. For to their power I bear record, yea. And it was beyond their power that they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Paul didn't want to take money from these churches of Macedonia. He knew how poor they were. But they said, "You've got to take it. We want to give it to you." You see, they weren't giving because they had to. They were giving because God had first given them. So, I give by sight my tithe because it's commanded. But I give beyond that because of grace. One is by law. Yes, that's what I should do. This one is what He's done for me. How can I do any less? You see how much greater giving is than tithing. Second thing. Go to Leviticus chapter 27. You say, "How much is a tithe?" I heard about a Groupon. It was a comic. I didn't put it up here. Yeah, how many subscribe to Groupons and Living Social and all those coupon things? All right. A guy sitting there at church, he said, "I got a Groupon for 5%. Pay 5%, you get 5% on your tithe instead of paying 10. Some of you who do Groupons, you understand that. That didn't go anywhere. Anyway. It is 10%. Look at Leviticus chapter 27. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 32. You say, can anything good come out of Leviticus? A lot of good comes out of Leviticus. A lot of good stuff. That's Levites' rules on holiness and purity and worship and on offerings. In Leviticus chapter 27 verse 32, the Bible says this concerning the tithe. Of the herd, of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, how much belongs to the Lord, is holy to the Lord? The tenth. So giving the tithe means you give 10% of your income. Now go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I told you we go back and forth a little bit. Stay with me. It's worth it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. That's not... Oh, verse 7, sorry. Well, I'm going to say verse 6. Start in verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth, plants, sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, every man according as he purposes in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a what? Cheerful giver. I want you to see, I'm supposed to give how much of my income when it comes to my tithe? How much am I supposed to give when it comes to missions? As much or as little as I want. Every man as he purposes. Whatever you want, whatever you want, whatever you don't want. God is saying the tithe is up to him. He determines how much I'm supposed to give for the tithe. But when it comes to missions, when it comes to giving, when it comes to taking care of the poor, when it comes to ministering to addicts, when it comes to any kind of thing outside of the tithe, give whatever you want. God doesn't hammer you. God only wants a cheerful giver. He doesn't want a grudge. Want to do this, then don't do it. Listen,
If it comes to being bad attitude about giving your tithe, tithe. Because tithe, we obey God whether we feel like it or not, don't we? So God's not looking for a sweet attitude about giving our tithe, but He is wondering, will we give with our heart for missions? You give as little as much as you want. Third thing, when it comes to giving by sight, we give to our church. We don't give to charities. We don't give to the poor. But we give our tithe to our local Bible preaching church. You know, the purpose of this church is to have a place where people are able to come and hear the gospel, where people, when they get saved, they can get baptized and they can join and become part of the New Testament body of Christ. And the tithing goes here. I know too many people, they're sending their money everywhere except to their local church. Who's actually living here and ministering to you? Not the guy on the television program. Not the guy on the internet. This is where you're being ministered to. And this is where your tithe goes. Bring it to the storehouse. My house, Malachi says. So, when we give the tithe, where does it belong? It belongs here. But when we give to missions, we're giving to others. Sometimes you give to the poor. Sometimes you give to charities. But especially you give for souls. You give for missions. Now, you can't give by faith until you've given by sight. There may be somebody here who says, all right, I'll put some money in for missions. All right? But you can't do that unless you first tithe. What is Malachi? We didn't even look at it. It says, will a man rob God? Can somebody actually rob God? And yet we do when we don't obey Him. And we take the money that belongs first to Him and we say, I'm going to give it to somebody else. That's out of balance. That's the wrong way. We give our tithe to our church. We give our missions always to others. It doesn't come back to us. We don't get anything out of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? All the money we give to our 8 missionaries doesn't come back to us. We get nothing for it. We give it away. Your tithe goes so we can pay the rent here. So that we can be here. That brings on my next point. When we tithe and we give by sight, we're giving to the needs of this church. Do you know we have bills to pay? Church is not free. Salvation is free. Everything else costs. Amen? Think about it. Hymnals cost money. The rent to this place and our activity center costs money, a lot of money. Our church bus costs money. Costs money for insurance, for diesel, for maintenance and upkeep. Our Sunday school costs money. Our accountant costs money. I want to strangle him. Insurance. We have had, since day one, I have had insurance. Nobody's ever fallen and sued or anything, but we have to pay. So in case somebody does, we have insurance. It costs money. Even tea and coffee cost money. It costs money to design and print our gospel tracts. It costs money to produce our website. It costs money to develop everything that goes on with our youth camps, our Bible clubs, our men's camps, our ladies' meetings. It costs money. Who pays for what all the things that we do? Who pays for that? We do. But giving. You see, when I tithe, it takes care of the things that we do here. When I give, it meets the needs of others. It looks and says, you know what? I've done my duty. Now I get an opportunity to be a blessing to someone else. It's always others. Look at Philippians chapter 4. You're in 2 Corinthians. Go to the right. Go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 16. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 16 and 17. Watch how Paul just rejoices at this church. Philippians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift. I didn't want you to send me money. But I do desire fruit, they may abound to your account. Paul says, I was over in Thessalonica. Nobody was caring about my needs. I was struggling financially. I was trying to do my tent making and things. And then I would get something in the post and there'd be somebody
or some churches who had sent me money, and they took care of me. And they thought nothing of themselves, they gave to others. And Paul says, it humbled me. That's giving. That's a different thing than tithing. Again, let's review. It's obedience to God. But when it comes to giving, it is out of love for God. You know, sometimes my kids growing up, I mean, Sarah's so perfect and easy. She's not here, so I can talk about her. But Ruth is here, so I can. My kids always obeyed me. But you know what? They were supposed to obey me whether they liked it or not, correct? But you know, it's really wonderful when a child, hint, hint, Ruth, when a child does something because they love the parent. You see the difference? So, when it comes to tithing, I do it out of obedience because God doesn't do it. But when it comes to giving, I do it out of love for God. We can tell how quickly, how little we love God based on our willingness to give. It is an obligation or a duty for me to tithe. End of story. You can argue with me all you want, but you're not getting anywhere. It is what we're supposed to do. I don't care how long or how short you've been saved. God owns you. And he says, I need 10% to keep you balanced. I'll talk about that another time. Tithing is the most stabilizing factor in your life. It will return sanity to your mind. It will return stability to your finances. And it will allow God to bless you. You're in debt. The way you got in debt was because you kept paying money for yourself. You put God back first and give him his 10%. And the debts slowly disappear. They don't all disappear overnight, but they do disappear because you're honoring God and God will honor you. So you do it as an obligation, a duty, but when it comes to giving, it is a joy. Go to Acts chapter 20. Back to the left, Acts chapter 20. Chapter 20 and verse 35. Paul says, I have showed you all things. Acts 20, 35. I've showed you all things how that soul laboring. You're supposed to work and labor and make money. Soul laboring, you ought to support those who can't work, the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more what? It is more blessed to give than to receive. One is a duty, one is a joy. Tithing, I call it giving by sight because you're giving according to what you see in your wallet, what you see in your bank account, what you see on your pay packet. You take that and you divide it by a tenth and you pay that. But we already read in Proverbs chapter 11, giving to missions, especially as we focus on this, you give without looking. There is that scattereth and yet increases. We read that, remember? You say, I don't have any money. But what you have, just if you want to give, you don't want to give, don't worry about it. But if you give, you look around and say, well, there's some more. How'd that get there? You see, when it comes to tithing, you have to calculate how much you owe. Amen? You go through the grocery store and you pile in all of the cereal and the breads and the corn and the chocolate. There you go. And you put it on the meat, amen. And you put it all in there. And what does that register attendant do? Calculates what you owe, don't they? All right, that's giving by sight, isn't it? You haven't given them anything, have you? You're paying them what you owe. When they give you, that'll be 127 euros. But when it comes to giving, you give without checking how much you have. And if you reach in your wallet and it pulls out a 20, you don't go, oh, let me check the other wallet. Let me check the other pocket. Oh, okay, good. There's a fiver. You don't care what comes out of the pocket. That's giving. Do you understand what I'm saying? When it comes to tithing, it is not a sacrifice to tithe. Can somebody nod their head? It is not a sacrifice when we give what we owe God. But let me say this. giving will always be a sacrifice. When you give to others what you need for yourself. Again, you don't have to give. Do you have to tithe? Yes. Do you have to give? No. But when you do, somebody says, well, it's easy for you to give. It's no more easy for me to give than it is for you. It is always a sacrifice. I'm giving what I want
to somebody else.
You see, giving is a sacrifice, just like it was for Jesus. It is a commitment. Tithing is a commitment to give 10% of all that we earn. Giving is just as much a commitment of what we can trust God to provide through us on a regular basis. We read there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says, and to their power and beyond their power, we say ability, they gave. So the Macedonians sat down and they heard of the Christians in Jerusalem, and they later heard of Paul and his needs, and they said, you know what? We need to meet the need. And they committed to helping him. It's not a flippant thing of you know, the money crawling out of your pocket and then going over into the offering box. It is something that you commit to do. You choose to do. Proverbs 3. Go back to the left, middle of your Bible, Psalms, and then Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Holding your place here. Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 9. I'm gonna find out if anybody's got the joy of the Lord this morning. Because when you preach on money, you can see the joy run. Funny thing, man. Funny thing. You know, giving is a part of worship. You know that? And I mean, we you know, Pastor, I gave 2 hours to get here today. That's enough. That didn't even start, man. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 says this, honor the Lord with thy substance, with what you have, and with the first fruits. Who gets the first bill payment? God does. With the first fruits of all your increase. Whatever you got paid, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Not old wine, by the way. So, tithing honors God. But when you give to others, it pleases God. This is awesome. This is awesome. 2 Corinthians, hold your place here in Proverbs. Well, you can leave it because we just read the verse, but we'll come back in a second. 2 Corinthians, back and forth, back and forth. You're going to get dizzy here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. One is the honor of God, the worship of God. The second one is the pleasing of God. 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposeth in his, what? Listen, it's in your heart this has to come from. In his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God, I mean, God just, I don't understand it. God is God, and yet he is pleased when we enjoy giving. Amen. I heard of a church. I don't know if it'd be a good thing to do. But I heard of a church where the pastor said, you know what? It was kind of stale. And I really like to... They tried to get people to sing, and they just... And he tried to preach with all his heart, and everybody's like, get it over with. So he had his deacons. Now, they took up the offering by passing the plate, okay? That way. We don't do that here. But anyway... And as the deacons would pass the plate, if they saw somebody put, you know, bills in, not coins, but bills, they would whistle. And about four of these guys going around, and by the end, by the time they were finished, everybody was laughing because they all started figuring out, this is fun. Now, I don't know if I'd ever do that. But it changed the attitude of church there, where the whistling was going on. Everybody just started laughing. Well, they gave some. And they realized, you know what? That laughter broke the ice. And he had a great church service that day. I just read that and I thought, that was a cool thing. Amen. Maybe we need that. What do you think? But God loves a cheerful giver.
When it comes to the tithe, did you know you can expect blessings? We read it. So shall thy barns burst out. So will God rebuke the devourer. God will open the windows of heaven. Is that God's promise, yes or no? But when you give to missions and when you give to others, you can expect nothing. Don't you get this idea that we give to get. No, when you give and you don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You give and you don't say, there, God, you owe me. No, you tithe and you say, Lord, that's to honor you and I'll trust you. You'll take care of me because I'm putting you first. Amen. You know, you can say that. But when it comes to giving, especially to people that can never give back to you, you expect nothing in return. That's giving. That's agape. That's charity love. That's where we get the original word charity from. Giving with expecting nothing in return. Do you know, look at chapter 8. You're in 2 Corinthians, hopefully. Chapter 8 and verse 9. We're almost through with this. Don't worry. I think this is good. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know what's that key word? The grace. Oh, I love the grace. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Wow. Jesus gave everything expecting nothing in return. Wow. You know, he gave to a bunch of people. He gave more than just to us. He so loved the world. Did the whole world appreciate it? I think he's not gotten his return, has he? And yet he gave. He gave knowing that people would reject him and resist him and fight him and condemn him and ignore him and neglect him and reject him. He gave anyway. You know, when you give, and God doesn't have to bless you. Your blessing's in the giving, I found in the Bible. Amen? You give as if you're given to the Lord when you give your tithe. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So you come over and you put your tithe into the box. Who are you giving to? To the Lord. You designate and you say, I'm giving to missionaries. I want to help missionaries plant churches and win souls. You're giving as if to the Lord. Amen. Every time you give. Well, I gave, and that missionary is not on the field anymore. They're dead. You gave it to the Lord. Amen? Again, you give the tithe. Look at John 14. John 14 to verse 15 says this, if ye love me, can you finish the last part of it? Keep my commandments. The test. You know, I want to tithe because I love the Lord, and when I don't love the Lord, I still tithe. Amen? But I really tithe now since I grew up because I love Him. But did you know Romans chapter 10? Now, go to the right. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Do you know why we give to missions? Do you know why we give so much money to missionaries? Why we ought to want to give more? And we're not beyond our tithe, beyond imagine. What could we give if we fell in love with souls? Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, are you with me? Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You see, you will give because you love souls. Lastly, can I say this? It's hard to get started tithing. Anybody else want to agree with that? It's hard to get started tithing. Do you know when you start giving, it's hard to stop. It really is. The liberal soul shall be made. Now we're talking about the soul, not the body, okay? Oh, I must be really liberal. You know, the more you give, you end up able to give more. God just trusts you because He knows you're not going to take it and keep it. And it's hard to stop. When you start to see God using you to meet needs, you just say, keep it coming. And you don't use it for yourself. It's always for others. You put the Lord first with your tithe, and then you get the opportunity to give, and you just give a few, Bob. You just a few opportunities. You say, man, that was fun. Man, look what happened. Look at how many souls got saved. Look at the fruit of the RU ministry. Look at the fruit of these other missionaries. Look at the reports that we get from them. I want to try and give more. That's what I want to do. And then, man, I got more to give. That happens. And it's hard to stop. Now, Romans chapter 10, you're in there. Look at again, verse 13. Romans 10 and verse 13. It's our main theme verses for the month. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a wonderful verse. Verse 14. How then shall they call on Him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a... But verse 15, the first part is the challenge. Well, how are they going to preach except they be... Somebody got to send them. There are three responsibilities for souls. Going, praying, and giving. Sinners don't normally come to us and ask how to be saved. It's wonderful when they do. But rarely do they just come to us. We have to go to them. We have to start the conversations. We have to suffer in order to let them know of the wrath to come and how to be saved from it. So, going and telling them is the first thing for souls. We have to go to them. We have to go out to the highways and hedges. We have to go into all the world. We have to go, amen? Matthew 28, our Lord's last command is, go ye therefore and teach how many nations? All nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. His last command is our first priority, somebody said. I like that. He said, go. Going. But when there are people in faraway countries that need to hear as well, well, you can't just ignore the people in Malaysia, in East Timor, in India, in Australia, in New Zealand, in Chile, in Argentina, in Honduras, in Albania, in Algiers, in Nigeria. We can't ignore the countless hundreds of millions and billions of people who are lost and on their way to hell. Someone needs to go there too. Not every one of us can go so far away. So those of us who cannot go need to pray and give so somebody can. You see, we often believe that money is not needed. But it is. See, how are people going to hear all over the world without preachers, without missionaries, without church planters? How are they going to hear? And how are they going to preach except they be sent? And that's our job. People who cannot go. How many of you can go to, let's find some crazy country, Uganda. Let's pick a great country. How many of you can go to Uganda right tomorrow? Well, maybe Barry can. Amen. God bless you. We're sending you tomorrow. We got a missionary today. Amen. Woohoo! You're called, brother. Done deal. Well, listen, if he was ready to go, we should send him. Amen. How shall they preach except they be sent? Those who can't go, well, I can't help. Yes, you can. You can help somebody else get there and do what you can't do. That's missions. That's what we do. We already supposed to be tithing. Now we need to be giving. What it means to send missionaries. Four things. You ready for this? It means we allow missionaries to rob us. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Can you imagine? You imagine some missionary comes by and says, Brother Ledbetter, I want to come to your church and I want to visit your people and I want to take your money. Is that what they say? That's what they want. And you know what God's asking us to do? Take it. It's us allowing somebody to come and take what we want and what we don't have to give. Amen? That's what. Look at 2 Corinthians. Where did I tell you to go? Chapter 11, verse 7. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted because I preached to you the gospel of God freely? He's talking to the Corinthians. He says, did I do something wrong when I came and I didn't charge you for preaching the gospel? Verse 8. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them. Now, he didn't go to the churches and say, give me your wallet, give me your purse, give me your gold tooth. He didn't go around. How did you know? That's right. He didn't even know. All right. He didn't go around. That's not what he did. He said, but I took money that belonged to them so that I could give the gospel to you freely. What a thought. What does it mean to send missionaries? It means that we allow missionaries to rob us. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Look at chapter 12 and verse 14. It means, when we send missionaries, it means that we're gladly spending and being spent up. Look at verse 14. Chapter 12, verse 14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. I don't want to be a burden on you, for I seek not yours. I don't want your things. I just want you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. These were new Christians. And Paul says, verse 15, I will gladly spend and be spent for you. I wish it stopped there, but he's kind of telling how it really is. He says, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But it didn't matter to him. He said, like a parent, I just love my kids. And I'm glad, man, if they need anything, I'm reaching in and I'm giving it to them. I don't have any money, I go pull and turn the couch over and I find something for them. Because they're my kids. And when we see souls just as important as our own family, when we see souls and churches need to be planted just as important as this church, we will find every penny we can so we can give. That's giving. It's allowing God to grip our hearts so that we say, I would gladly spend it all on souls. Amen. We expect it of our missionaries. God expects it of His church, too. Look at 3 John. 3 John. All the way to almost to Revelation. 3 John chapter 1 is only one chapter. 3 John and verse 7. We're enabling missionaries to be self-sufficient in a foreign country. 3 John 1:7 says, but cause for His name's sake, for Jesus' sake, they, missionaries, went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. These were people who would go into a new community and they never took a penny from anybody. How are they going to do that? How are they going to survive? I've had hundreds of people say, how do you live? Where do you get your money? Well, I robbed other churches. Well, were you paying attention? And there are hundreds of people who faithfully give to their churches so that I, Andrew, Jan, Kathy, Nita, so that we can come and not charge a penny. Never have, never will. So that we're not a burden. So that we are self-sufficient. So that the gospel is free. Is that cool? And that's how it ought to be when a missionary goes into Honduras or whether they go into Ukraine. By the way, Ukraine needs a lot of prayer. And whether they're going into Malaysia or whether they're going into Japan, that they can go in and somebody says, how are you surviving? By faith. By not only my faith, but by the faith of countless other hundreds of Christians who are keeping me here. That's giving by faith. How many are excited to want to get into it? Our last point here is not to be a burden. 1 Thessalonians, go back to the left, to the people. Can you imagine if I showed up here in Ireland and I put my little envelope in everybody's letterbox around where I live, you know, don't worry about Peter's pence, worry about Craig's pence, and put it in every letterbox saying, support your local church planting missionary, and I charged everybody money so that I could be here, nobody would let me stay, would they? So I don't want to be a burden any more than Paul wanted to be a burden. Look at your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and our travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. And we preached unto you the gospel of God. He said, Paul, Timothy, Silas, we labored, we worked, travailing night and day so that we could preach the gospel. And we could do it without charge so that we weren't a burden to you. Isn't that cool? You know why dad goes to work? So the kids can grow up safe and secure, and so the kids can have a home, so the kids can be taught right and grow up in a safe environment. That's why dad works. That's why mom sometimes has to work, so that the children can grow up, and they don't charge the kids, although we want to. Amen. But we let the kids grow up for free, usually, until they're 18. Well, that's what we do with churches. We go and we start churches and we do it for free. And one day they grew up and then they start helping churches get started. And they start giving. And they start doing the thing that we're doing. That's biblical Christian, not to be a burden. Now, I know I got to teach this. How to tithe. Take notes. You ready? How to tithe. Did you know the government demands first take on your income? I want you to add this up in your mind real quickly. 20% of all income, with an additional 1% income levy on top of that, the government takes off of every penny you earn. Then, when we do put a little money away in the bank, the government charges 41% on the interest on the money we're trying to save. They take it before we even can get at it. Then, with the money we're left over and we go buy something, they take 23% more. How many of you are upset yet? Oh, socialism's great, isn't it? And then on top of that, you got the stamp duty taxes, the PRSI taxes, the new property tax, the non-principal private residency levy on people who own their second home, and the universal social charge. And the list could go on and on and on. The government loves taking money. And it gets first dibs, doesn't it? But you know what? So what? You know, God doesn't care what government we're under or what economics we've got. God deserves 10% that He asks for. And He actually deserves it ahead of the revenue.ie. So how do you tithe? First of all, you look at your total income before taxes. Look at your total income, repeat it with me, before taxes. That hurt to say. You look at your pay packet. You look at your babysitting money. You look at that eBay sale you made. You look at your welfare check. You note your income this week. And your total income before the government got his filthy hands on your money is where you start. And remember, if you got any income, God gave it to you. You say, I earned it. God gave you health to earn it. Well, my boss paid me. God gave you a job so that you could have a boss to pay you. Don't you forget who's the original cause of your goodness, your good life. Take one-tenth of that amount and give it as an offering back to God. That's really complicated, isn't it? He didn't say give 17.3612. No. He said one-tenth. I believe God ought to ask for all of our money back. I don't think... If he's given me a job, you know, I tell you, I read biographies. I haven't read one in a long time. I've got hundreds of biographies I read. And I read one man who realized just for God called him to preach. He was a wicked man. And he's sitting there. He used to mock Christianity, used to paint filthy pictures of Jesus and drunken disciples. He used to be a wicked man. God saved him. Thank God still saves wicked men. And he's sitting down, ready to paint something there. And while he got ready to paint, he says, you know, I need to pray. I want to do this right. I don't want to do it from my own imagination. I want to do it like God would be honored by this painting. He was painting for a church. He was painting a wall in a church. And he got ready to paint, and he bowed, and he said, the Lord spoke to him right then and there, says, yeah. He said, I want to do this for you. He said, you know, what ought to happen to you right now? You remember all those filthy paintings you used to paint? You remember all that wicked stuff you used to say and make fun of me? And he bowed his head and started crying. And he said, Lord, I'm not worthy. God, I don't know why I should even try this. I can't do it like it should be done. He said, you know, who ought to take your life right now? And he said, Lord, he said to the Lord, he said, you ought to take my life right now. It's not worth it. He says, all right. If you'll give everything up to me, then we can start. He said, Lord, you mean you'll give me another chance? The Lord said, yeah, if you belong to me, then we'll work it out. God called him to preach, and that young 38-year-old man is an incredible preacher to this very day because God broke him and he realized, I'm nothing. And God says, if you give me all of you, not just one-tenth, I believe he deserves all that we have. Do you understand what I'm saying? All that we are, he's the only one that can take and do something with it. Then all of a sudden something can happen in our lives. But you just, all God asks for is one-tenth, and if you take that one-tenth and you put it in the offering box and it goes in there, then you're done. Wow, Pastor, that's easy. Nod your head. Yeah. I thought it was kind of hard. I thought you had to genuflect. I thought you had to face toward the east. I thought you had to get an accountant. No. That's all you do. And you know what's fun? God will take care of you. You see, you put God first. God says, you know, you honor me, I'll honor you. That's great. Let's have an example. Someone in this room makes $22,000 a year. I don't know who you are. I'm just guessing, okay? But if you make 22,000 euros a year, that's 423 euros a week. You take one-tenth of that, 42 euros and 30 cents. That wasn't so hard, was it? Was that before or after taxes? Before. Ah, now we need a couple of these. You make 85,000 euros a year. Whew! That's 1,635 euros a week. Now, obviously, nobody's making that here. I don't know. What is 1,635 euros for the week? What is one-tenth of that? Drum roll, please. 164 euros. Well, if you want to be precise, it's 163 euros and 50 cents. Whatever, man. Whatever suits your fancy. Well, what if you made 100 euros this past week babysitting or mowing grass or taking money from your mom's purse, I don't know. What's one-tenth of 100 this past week? 10. Is that complicated? Not at all. How do you give now? How do you give? After you've tithed, after you've paid what we owe, you can start to experience the joy of giving. And you may never enjoy tithing. I do. But some people may never enjoy tithing any more than you enjoy paying taxes. How many of you smile and go, praise God, and the Kenny gets my blessing? You don't, do you? But you pay it, don't you? But you can enjoy giving. And believe me, you will. How do you do it? Three thoughts. First of all, by faith. Look, who are we giving to? We're giving as if we're giving it to God. We're not able to give it specifically to individual people, but it's as unto the Lord, and we're getting it to people, but it's given to the Lord. You give as little as or as much as you want. You give for others. You give out of love for God. You give at every opportunity. You don't worry about where it's going to come from. You just give it. That's how do you give? By faith. How do I tithe? Oh, there's my wallet. I was worried. You look in your wallet, and my wallet is empty, all right? So that's not a good... Somebody got some money. Let me get some money. How do you give? How do you tithe? You go to the post office, you go to the bank, or wherever you get your money. If you got all the cash, you put it in your wallet there, you add it all up. Well, that doesn't work because that's after the taxes have been taken out. So you need to look at it beforehand. But you look at it and you do it by sight. But when it comes to giving, you don't care if some money's in your wallet.
You want to give whatever you have. You just want to give. It is in your choice. It is something you want to do by faith. And by the way, when you do it by faith, you're trusting God to provide through you. You know, you'd be surprised. How many times... Kevin was a great example last Sunday night about trusting God, wasn't it? I mean, the examples he gave, I can give you dozens and dozens of examples of where when I got my heart right, and I was like, I don't have the money to give, I'm not going to give, Lord, not now, I don't want to. You told me I don't have to. I already gave my tithe, but I don't want to give right now. And then I give my heart right and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to give, I'm going to meet that need. And as soon as I decided I'm going to meet that need, there was a 20-euro note on the side of my seat in the car that had fallen out of my pocket. That's scary. And probably if I had not got my heart right, the next time I opened my door, the wind would have blown it away and I would have lost it. You see, all of a sudden, there was that 20. I could have said, wow, praise God. But I went, that's what I'll give. Because my heart was, I want to give. I may not have anything to give, but I want to give. And then God gave me the ability to give. I'm going to give by faith. I'm going to make sure that when it comes to Sunday, I give my tithe. But then I'm going to think, I want to give out of love now. I want to make sure missionaries get to the field and stay on the field. And I'm going to do it by faith. Because I love souls. Secondly, you do it as a promise. Not just because you feel like it. Right now, some of you are going to go, yes, Pastor, I want to give by faith. But next week, what did you preach? Where are we? You understand what I'm saying? You're going to have to make some promises here. You made a promise when you stood at the altar and you say, I do to that woman, didn't you, gentlemen? Whether you feel like it or not, you got to keep that promise. And the same thing's true when it comes to giving. You need to make that decision, a commitment that, Lord, I want this, I want no longer to be flint or a sponge. I don't want the pastor to have to get up here and squeeze or hammer. I just want to give without anybody having to say anything to me. I want to give. You got to make a promise. You got to say, Lord, I want to give. I want to give by faith. I want to give as a commitment for missionaries. Hey, they're out there. What if we decide not to support them? We can do that, can't we? It's not mandatory that we don't send any money to Kevin O'Keefe or to Dario Sullivan. We don't have to send it. But what if we stop? It might get hard. I know it's hard on us. Why should we make it hard on them? They're trying to do something for God. Amen? So we need to make a promise that we're going to give. And then the third part is the missions part. We do it for souls. Go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and I'm through. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 1 and verse 38. See, missions is not about feeding the poor or doing medical work or bringing free education or fighting for human rights or bringing free housing or helping with addictions. That's not what missions is about. Those are all great efforts. But the core reason why we send missionaries to preach the life, but the core reason why we send missionaries is to preach the life-changing, soul-saving gospel. Mark chapter 1 and verse 38. I love this verse. It just says this. And he, Jesus, said unto them, let us go unto the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Wow. It's always outside of us. Go to 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark 16, 15. I know of medical missions. I know of housing where people go in and they build facilities and they do it and they preach the gospel. But the reason why missionaries go and the reason why we support them is so that they preach. Yes, they do medical, and they do all kinds of extra things. They deal with addictions, but they preach the gospel. Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Faith as a promise for missions and missionaries. That's faith, promise, missions, giving. Wow. Not tithing, but giving. You know, all the money, when you designate on the brown envelope, when you designate that for missions, it all goes to our 8 missionaries so that we can keep them there. The more we give, the more missionaries we can support. I think that's cool. Let me conclude and finish up here. We're learning to live by faith and not by sight this year. And if we're living by faith, that means we're learning to love by faith. We're learning to work by faith instead of just by strength or ability. We're learning to pray by faith, to worship by faith, to minister to others by faith. But it also means learning to give by faith. Tithing is not by faith, it's by obedience, isn't it? This morning we've learned not just about tithing, but about faith, promise, giving. Oh yeah, let me get through these. What kind of a giver are you? Circle the one you probably are. Be honest. I'm not going to look at it. It's not a test. But circle, are you a flint? Are you a sponge? Or are you a honeycomb? I can tell by some of your response today to the message. Giving by sight means the tithe. It's something we're supposed to do. It meets the needs of this church. It helps us. It makes it so that we pay our bills. It is an obligation and a duty of every Christian, not just of rich people. Oh, rich people can afford it. 10% of riches is just the same in value as 10% of poverty. It's the whole, everybody. Giving by faith means giving to mission, something we need to do. Something we should already be doing, by the way. Or something we should start doing, sorry. Giving by sight is something we're supposed to be doing. Giving by faith is something we need to start doing. Because we're not really doing it. We're not. And I really am burdened that we give by faith because it meets the needs of others. It is a joy, more blessed to give than to receive. It pleases God. And it's because we start to love souls. Are you tithing? Circle, yes or no. I'm not saying, well, I put a fiver in. That's not a tithe. Not unless you made 50 euros this week. You probably made more than that. Are you tithing? Do you know tax evaders are lawbreakers and should go to jail? Amen. God deserves the 10% he asks for, and he deserves it first ahead of the government. Do you understand how to tithe now? Good. Are you ready to give? In a few weeks, I'm going to hand out some commitment cards on the first week of April. And these cards are basically going to help us as a church know, and we'll be able to look at it and say where we're at and where we're going, based on our awareness of what the Bible says to do. So if you're interested, you can go ahead and grab one of those things and look at it and pray over it and say, you know what? That's me, but I want to be a honeycomb kind of Christian. Everyone committed to both tithing and giving would transform this church, because this church would be liberal. It would be a character of us where we just give. We're not talking about getting. We're not talking about anything except putting God first and living for others. Isn't that a great way to live? Well, let me tell you about the greatest giver of all time. The only reason why you're probably here is because somebody gave to you first, didn't he? His name is Jesus. He left everything behind him, and he was born into poverty and want. See, nobody understands. Jesus understands. Everything he ever did and everything that he ever gave was for others, a great personal cost to himself. He never got a second suit of clothes, because he always gave stuff away. In the end, no one thanked him, and almost everyone called for his death, cried out, "Crucify him." The very people he had blessed and gave to and ministered to turned against him. And even in death, he continued to give. He gave his blood. Maybe now you understand that word "gave" when it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Let's stand on this bow in prayer.